Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. My voice is a little raspy, but hopefully, that's not going to stop the truth from going forth. Please continue to keep my fine wife Bev in prayer as she overcomes pneumonia. Today's call, well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna have a glorious time, no doubt about it. There are times when God stirs an idea, a teaching for me to share. Sometimes I think that this may just be one of those days when reality as I start to write and turns into a longer teaching. This, like I said, one of those days. We're going to start talking about the seven character traits of a winner. Seven character traits of a winner. First, empathy. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you were raised in church, I'm sure you sang the words to that popular children's song. But they're just words, or do they? How much does he really love you? If you've ever heard the gospel message, you know that God loved you enough to send Jesus to die for your sins, sickness, and poverty. But he loves you even more than that. Hebrews 4:15, Classic Amplified. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and share a feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. We can take comfort in knowing that whatever you're going through, Jesus has already experienced all of your pain, including loss, rejection, betrayal, and dying. As our Savior and Redeemer, he took all our sins on the cross and then forgave and continues to forgive us when we ask. He is touched by our humanity. I remember I got the revelation that if our giving moves us, it moves God. He feels what we feel. If we give our last dollar, I mean the very last dollar you have in the world, he feels it. He feels your pain, and he feels your faith. Truly, Jesus has empathy for us, and we should have it for others. Jesus feels what we feel. He put himself in our place, sharing our emotions. Hallelujah. And this is the character quality which we need to demonstrate for others. Sometimes in the workplace, you have to deal with coworkers or supervisors who can be difficult. When you have to get to the root cause of why they are like they are, you will find they have certain unresolved conflicts in their lives, which you may not be aware of. It most often helps to try walking in another person's shoes, to understand why they do what they do and why they feel the way they feel. If you want to be effective in the workplace or the marketplace, we need to be willing to understand the mindset of others. Number two, stop, neutralize, and eliminate conflict. Unfortunately, we can't always avoid conflicts with people. There will be times when we are amazed at their thought process, well, or the lack thereof. When someone provokes a disagreement, argument, or attack on you, you can't avoid conflict, but you can purpose in your heart to make it short-lived. When conflict arises, here's how we suggest handling it. First, purpose in your heart, not add fuel to the flames of the person's agitation. Second, if you stop talking, it will diffuse the flames. Third, listen to what the other person is saying without responding while they're talking. Fourth, don't defend yourself. When you push back, they'll push back even more. If you attack, they will either fight or retreat, and neither of which will repair or restore the relationship. Fifth, ride the wave of discontent. Don't be drowned by the undertow. Six, stay calm. If it means getting back to the person, which they probably will not like, just say so. Just say, I need a little more time to calmly reflect on what you've said to me. Seventh, ask the person to forgive you if you've offended them. Doing so doesn't mean you're wrong, just means you're giving them the opportunity to forgive you. Here are four scriptures we should meditate on. First, Psalm 37:8, New Living Translation. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Second, Proverbs 14:29, the Message Bible. Slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. Third, Proverbs 15:1, New Living Translation. Always respond to perceived hurts and anger from another. And fourth, Ephesians 4:26-27, Classic Amplified. When angry, do not sin. Then never let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, your indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil to give. Well, just don't give him any opportunity. Third, respond like water off a duck's back. When dealing with difficult situations, we can't take it personally, even though we would be justified to do so. We should respond just like it's water rolling off a duck's back. Don't assume that someone meant to insult you or hurt you, because 9 times out of 10, there was no intent there. This is particularly true in marital relationships. Don't assume you know what the other person is thinking, even though you may have been married a long time and you understand that your mate's thought processes. This time, you may not understand. I'm going to ask my fine wife, Bev, I asked her to share about the cartoon she saw years ago. And she told me, here's what she told me to tell you. A couple sitting on the either end of a couch. Each one of them have little circles going up above their heads to indicate what they're thinking. I know what you're thinking is above the woman's head. And the circles above the man's head says, oh, no, you don't. If there's conflict in your marriage, find a convenient, calm time for discussion. Frankly, the wife might say something like this. I know we're having problems in this area, but I need your help. Most men will respond to this type of request because it'll break down barriers and draws the other person into the solution process. Most of all, don't get offended. Don't get offended. And even more importantly, don't give place to an offense, as it will quickly build into a stronghold, which the enemy will use to destroy our marriage and even friendships. Proverbs 10:12, the Living Bible. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. You know, I've been the recipient of this truth found in 1 Peter 4:8, Classic Amplified on so many times, so many occasions. The verse says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Fourth, give praise when and where it's due. Always look for and compliment the good in other people. Recognize the things they're doing well and commend them on what they're doing. On a recent call, I shared a great quote by Mark Twain, the humorist, who once said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. But we must be straightforward in our compliments. Ecclesiastes 7:6, Living Bible. For a fool's compliment is as quickly gone as paper in a fire. And it is silly. It is silly to be impressed by flattering words with an ulterior motive. 1 Thessalonians 2:5. New Living Translation. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we are not pretending to be your friends just to get money. See, it's also important to understand to use flattery, not to use it, because it doesn't make God happy. Job 32:22, New Living Translation. For if I tried flattery, my Creator would soon destroy me. Praising the other hand reflects the values of the person doing the praising. If someone asks you what you might like most about a person, and you say his or her commitment to the family, it shows you value family. If you say he gets things done, it shows that you appreciate and value who not only have great ideas, but who finish a task. Proverbs 12:25, New Living Translation. Worry weighs a person down, and an encouraging word cheers people up. Hallelujah. Give some thought to that, and we'll pick up on tomorrow's call. Until the next time, God bless you, happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.